Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Caroline Joyner is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. She's a new friend. We haven't had her on the show before, but we're going to fix that right now. She's Executive Director of the Anti-Counterfeiting and Piracy Initiative at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. She's formerly with the U.S. Commercial Services Division of the U.S. Department of Commerce, an organization that I'm very fond of. And as you know, folks, many of our friends in the Brain Trust are over in the Commerce Department. She is. She was appointed to that job at the Commerce Department by our president, President Bush. And I think she actually may have known him when he was governor. But she's our new friend. Caroline, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
It's good to have you here. And congratulations on being over at the U.S. Chamber. We've got good friends over there, too, like our good buddy Giovanni Cortello.
Excellent.
Okay. I have been saying for a long time, Caroline, that that the biggest threat to us from China has nothing to do with their missiles or their army. It has to do with the inappropriate ways that they steal, or not, I shouldn't say inappropriate ways that they do business, and in the fact that they steal our intellectual property.
Well, that's absolutely the case. I mean, counterfeiting and piracy are costing the U.S. economy up to $250 billion a year, and we estimate that's 750,000 American jobs, and 85% of that, those counterfeit products are coming from China.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've got the list of things here that I had no idea. I mean, I thought I was keeping up, Caroline, with what was going on with some of the issues, but I had no idea. People would be amazed at how mundane and everyday some of the things are that some of the everyday products, some of the small consumer products that these people will try to steal and counterfeit.
Absolutely.
Most Give us some examples.
Most people think of this in terms of CDs and DVDs and songs on the Internet.
Right.
But really, it's every product and every industry is vulnerable. And every time I think I have an inventory of products that have been counterfeited, I come across something new. Even in the last couple of months, we've seen fake batteries, fake brake pads, fake diabetic testing strips, fake extension cords.
Here's one that got me as a pilot. I saw that 2% of the 26 million airplane parts that are installed are actually counterfeit from China.
Absolutely.
Blows me away. And another one was Procrit, a cancer drug. They found 11,000 boxes of counterfeit Procrit.
And these counterfeiters have no regard for some of the dangerous and effective products they're putting on the market. They could put consumers at serious risk. They're just trying to make a buck, and these are dangerous and effective products that unfortunately are occasionally ending up in our retail stores.
Well, you know, Caroline, this relationship with China is a sticky wicket, isn't it? I mean, we need to bring them into the 21st century league of nations, this marketplace of nations. We need to assimilate them into the way that most of the world does business. We could use their customers. I mean, they have, what is it, 1.4 billion customers that we could do. That just their middle class in China is the size of the U.S. population. There's a lot of opportunity. We need to have a good relationship with China, don't we?
Absolutely. It's a market that we can't ignore, but it's also we've got to make sure that our intellectual property is protected there so that our businesses can compete and succeed. And that is a challenge. The Chamber's actually in China this week hosting a summit with our partners there on the importance of intellectual property innovation to their economy, and with the hope that the Chinese will recognize that it's in their best interest to protect intellectual property.
Well, there are two issues there, it seems to me, Caroline. And one of them is just dealing with the actual economics of this and trying to show them how that in the long run it's better not to steal people's stuff. But the other issue, Caroline, is the concept of ethics. The Eastern concept of ethics is not the same as the Western concept of ethics, is it?
No, it's, you know, in this country we recognize this as what it is, which is theft, and we need to make sure that those standards are applied throughout the with our trading partners.
So what are the steps that are being done, that are being taken to stop some of this?
Well, two parts. First, it's education. It's explaining to consumers here in the U.S., but also around the world, about the economic impact and the dangerous and defective products that are on the market. So most people still do view this as a victimless crime. And a lot of American businesses, unfortunately, still see this as a cost of doing business. Mm. And it's really gotten past the point of us being able to turn a blind eye to this because the stakes are too high economically and for consumers. But it's also on enforcement. It's making sure that the laws are on the books with our trading partners, and if they're on the books, that they're actually being enforced.
Well, you know, we actually had some real counterfeiting challenges with North Korea, didn't we? Hasn't North Korea been counterfeiting U.S. dollars?
They have, and they also have been making money off counterfeit cigarettes here in the U.S. market.
Mm-hmm. How do we know? How do consumers? Do consumers have any way of knowing when they buy something if it's counterfeit or not?
Some of it's just common sense. But, you know, sometimes they do need to be vigilant in the marketplace. If the price is too good to be true, there's probably something wrong with it.
Wrong.
And
yeah.
They pay attention to the source of these products. If they're buying from deep discount stores, flea markets, and even the Internet, they need to be very aware of price. And they also take a look at the label. Actually, sometimes the label of a counterfeit product looks better than the label of the real thing because the counterfeiters are not using recycled materials and other things, but be aware of what the label looks like. And, you know, shop from reputable retailers. If, you know, another symbol that something's wrong with it is a country of origin is not listed. That could be a tip that there's something wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
But always, there's so many resources for consumers. You know, go back to the Internet, go back to the original manufacturer and do your research, because if the price is too good to be true and then you're a little suspect of the source, you need to be aware. I mean, talking about the Internet, we take the pharmaceutical issue. We've got, you know, hundreds of thousands of websites selling pharmaceuticals, and mm-hmm. FDA estimates that only about 11% of those pharmacies are selling legitimate product.
Mm.
So the Internet is the wild west of these products, so consumers really need to be vigilant and aware of the source of these products.
Well, that's exactly right. And I see things on eBay, for example. Whenever I go there occasionally, once a month or so, I'll go shop around over there just to see what's going on with something I'm interested in. And I see prices there. And I know that that's not and it's new. It's a new product. And I know that nobody could have that new product at that price if it came off the legitimate assembly line.
Absolutely not.
And now I can make a decision. And when we come back, I want to talk about how to make that decision, what some things to think about when we're making those purchasing decisions. And we'll do that right. We'll be right back with Caroline Joyner. She's with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're talking about the threat that is real. It's a multifaceted, multi-billion-dollar, couple of hundred billion dollar threat to U.S. economy. It's costing 750,000 jobs estimated because of the counterfeiting. You know, Caroline, there was the story goes that one of the high-end golf club manufacturers somehow they got their hands on a club that they thought was theirs, but it came to them indicating that it was not theirs, and they literally had to saw it in half to be able to identify it as not being theirs. That's how good the replication was. They had to get inside to see how it was made inside, and that's pretty scary, isn't it?
It's very scary.
And
brand name items, the value is the brand, so it's pretty easy for the counterfeiters to knock these things off.
Exactly. And the thing I think we all have to think about, there are a couple of positions I think we need to take. You know, number one, we all probably have bought things that were counterfeit and didn't even know it. We thought we were doing the right thing. We didn't pay attention to the price. We just said, hey, I want that, and it may have been counterfeit, number one. Number two, if the price, as you said earlier, Caroline, was if the price is too good to be true, then you're probably getting counterfeit, especially if it's new stuff. And so you have to choose. Now, okay, if it's a counterfeit toothbrush or a counterfeit, something that doesn't matter, you know, like a handbag or something like that. Maybe you don't, you know, so what? Then maybe you make that decision and you save some money and maybe you don't care. But if it matters, like an automobile part or an aircraft part or medicine, that's when it really gets frightening, isn't it?
Right. It's very frightening.
Well, how do doctors, do these come through, I mean, do drugstores and doctors, medical organizations, do they get these things in without knowing that they're counterfeit?
Well, the drug supply chain is one, here in the U.S., is one of the most highly regulated supply chains in the world. And even in those instances, there are counterfeits making in, onto the shelves of legitimate pharmacies. And it's because somewhere along the line there's a breakdown in that supply chain. So there's a bad actor somewhere along the line. You know, that's one of the things the chamber is working very hard on, is to put tools and guidelines into the hands of small businesses about how to protect their supply chain. Mm-hmm. What are some basic things that every small business can do to make sure that they can weed out these bad actors along the supply chain? We released a supply chain toolkit that's available on our website that takes 7 case studies from major companies that are chamber members about some of the technologies, but even some of the low-tech solutions they are using to keep these fakes out of the supply chain.
Well, and you know, let's go back to the golf club, just to use that as an example, Caroline. If the, you know, I remember when there were China-made knockoffs of golf clubs, and they were called knockoffs. They were clearly very similar in look and feel to the original, but they were clearly not. I mean, they didn't try to replicate the brand. They only tried to replicate the product. And you could look at it, and people would say, hey, I bought these knockoffs. I like them just as well, and I saved $100. In my opinion, as long as they didn't, you know, steal their intellectual, the way they made that product and violate a patent or something, then that was fine. But that's fair competition. But when they try to replicate the brand, that's theft, isn't it?
It's absolutely theft. And these brand name items, especially luxury goods, are only sold through licensed distributors. They are very, very rarely available at these on the online or at deep discount stores.
So small business owners have to be careful, Caroline, that they don't, you know, if somebody shows up and said, hey, I got this truckload of stuff that's, you know, it's whatever, and it sounds like the brand that you sell, but it's $10,000 less or whatever the big deal is, and the guy says, you know, he gives you some story, and then you put it on your shelves.
You could very, very easily be putting your consumers at risk.
Exactly. And your own reputation, your own brand at risk.
Absolutely. I mean, the best case scenario is they're just poor quality. Worst case scenario, we've seen cases of shampoo that's laced with bacteria or batteries that have mercury in them. I mean,
Look at the dog food situation.
Absolutely. I mean, the worst case scenario, you could be putting products in the hands of your consumers that are potentially dangerous and deadly.
Well, and if their product was as good as the original, why don't they brand it themselves and compete straight
Absolutely.
Up in the marketplace?
Right. That's exactly
so that's, the case. That's the issue that you're dealing with, folks. And as consumers, I think we all have to look around and say, okay, do we want to help promote this? Do we want to, you know, or just to save $25 or whatever? Is that in the best interest of things? I think there should be a little bit of nationalism, don't you, in some of these decisions? What do you think, Caroline?
Well, there needs to be zero tolerance for this. This is not a victimless crime. We cannot turn a blind eye.
Thanks for the initiative that the U.S. Chamber is and your work on this, Caroline. Is there a website besides the U.S. Chamber that we need to know about?
Yes, visit www.thetruecost.org.
Thetruecost.org. Folks, it will widen your eyes when you read some of the stuff there. Thank you, Caroline, for being there. Good job. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Caroline Joyner, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back, and I will be too, right after these messages with Stephen Chandler. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.